We love this church. We love you. We've done, over the years being at Kenora, our church has partnered on lots of adventures, especially our ladies' retreats. Hey, so many great memories at Madge Lake with you girls, and I think we know things about each other that are just best kept secret. We have some great pictures and good memories, and God did some phenomenal things, and we got to grow together. But we love this country. We love the parkland area is amazing, and we were really looking forward to coming back and seeing you all, because especially we know your leaders so well, and we have such admiration and respect for the Hart family, Ray and Linda and Cam and Candace, the work that you've done here. I just got to commend you, and church, you got to know you've got excellent ministry here. When you find people who are of such a high standard of integrity, you just really have to appreciate them. Don't take them for granted. And you're very, very blessed to have the Harts here ministering, laying down their lives for the kingdom of God, to see you walk in understanding of him and knowledge. And the word later in Ephesians that you're reading, was it later in that chapter, it said to appreciate the excellence and grow in love and the sincerity of faith. And that's what's here, this sincerity. You've got the real deal, and you're a blessed church and blessed community to have the Harts here serving you so faithfully and doing a great work. And it's exciting. I mean, we were just thrilled and blessed this morning to come in and see the building and what you've done here. You guys really pulled together, and what a great vision and plan, and a bookstore again in Swan River. So that's really cool, a Christian books. You can buy your Bibles and your covers and all of it there. It's just awesome. So greetings from Edmonton. Some of you are wondering how Dean and I are still married. Yay! We survived a church plant. Yeah, it's the miracle.
There is a God.
There is a God, yeah. And I have survived the big city. I told God when I was 16 and I laid prostrate on the altar at our church after missionaries had been there that I would do anything and go anywhere for him except... there were three things. And the first was, I never want to be a pastor's wife. And the second was, I never want to live in a big city. And I'm not telling you the third thing because it hasn't happened, and that's between me and him. But you know what? When God does something in your heart and he calls you, he equips you, he graces you. And you know what? We love Edmonton. And I find the things in the city to enjoy and appreciate. And God has given us a place of rest there and work there. And so we're very, very honored to serve him wherever he calls us to be. And I'm sure you're finding the same thing. There's a special grace on you. Some people look at your life and think, how can you serve the Lord that way? Or how can you do this for God? And how can you be, you know, what you do? And it's really by the grace of God and his strength. So we bless you, Solid Rock. And yes, you do want to hear the duck story. Do you want to hear the duck story? So we pray, always pray Journey Mercies and trust the Lord as we travel and expect a good trip. And we were driving a little bit late last night and took kind of a roundabout route, and we were coming from Hudson Bay and whatever that highway is, 77, it's paved. And then, so we're still on the pavement, so I'm not sure. We're still on the Saskatchewan side, and there's this lump in the middle of the road. And we're driving down the middle of the road because we're the only ones, like we own the highway. It was awesome last night. And this lump, and my husband thinks, well, I'll just straddle it. And I'm leaning forward just to look. And sure as the world, this thing stands up on its two legs and sticks its neck out. And it's a duck. And it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't even checked the grill. Can you believe it? And I'm like, oh, that's awful. And Dean says, it was a suicidal duck. And we get a little bit farther down, and it turns into the gravel road. And sure, there's a beer can in the middle, just like sitting there in the middle of the road. And I said, oh no, it was a suicidal duck. So yeah, that was the end of him. But that was our big roadkill.
I said, the duck didn't live up to its name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're blessed to be here.
It could have ducked. but it didn't.
Oh man. But we saw a lot of deer, and they just stood and watched us go by, and yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bless you. It's going to be a great weekend. We're awesome. Thankful to be here, and are you expecting something great from God? Yeah, I am too.
Amen. Sit down. Awesome, yeah. Well, I am honored to be here tonight, and again, as Laura said, we are such fans of this church. We've known you guys for a number of years, and I grew up in Regina. My wife is from southeastern part of the province of Saskatchewan in a little town called Carlisle. We met at Bible camp out at Arlington Beach. For those of you that have been around long enough, you remember where Arlington Beach is back in the day when we used to have our Maranatha camps out there. You guys used to join us. That's where, you know, and I met Ray and Linda and, of course, Cam and others as well. So Rick and Deborah, I see here too. Good to see you guys. We had a great time this morning. I had a chance to just sit down with some of the leaders and just share some leadership stuff that has helped us over the years, and just had a great time just hanging around the table and great brunch that we had together and talking some leadership stuff. And so I just want you to know, if you're a part of this church, you guys are in good hands. You guys are a blessed people. Denise, Bob, you guys were there. I'm just looking around here, making sure. Of course, Ryan and Fallon and Steve and Michelle, Josh, Michelle, you guys are all here. So yeah, just a great, great night or a great morning. But again, you guys are in really, really good hands. And I love this church. I love the spirit of this church. I love what you guys have done. It's been a while since I've been here. I remember the last time I was here, it was a completely different layout. I think it was only through that way that you could get in here. And just the foyer is revamped, and the back end, the north end is all brand new. And it looks great. You guys did a great job. You did a great job. Now, how many know that it's not about the building?
Right.
Okay, it really isn't. God's building his church, but he didn't mean a building like this. However, a building like this is great to have to facilitate what God is wanting to do. So there's nothing wrong with making a good building, a nice building, a sheep shed, if you will, to help people come in and help them, you know, come to Christ. And that's great to have. So it's a great facility, and it's good to be here. Looking forward to just taking tonight and tomorrow to share some thoughts with you. By the way, Laura's aunt lives here, Aunt Burl. Now it's Moore, I believe. And so there's her husband, Murray, and they're here tonight. Yeah, so we got some family in this part of the world. And I reminisce a little bit back in the day when we were in Kenora. As Pastor Cam had mentioned, that we were there for 9 years, and a lot of good memories being in the Parkland region. A lot of great ladies' retreats. How many went to a ladies' retreat back in the day? And you remember back then? Good. How many men went to the men's retreats back in the day? Good. Good times. Hanging out there as well. Pastor Desmond from Yorkton. Of course, Ray. And I can't remember how many other guys were there. But it was good. It was great. It was good to be there. But we ended up feeling God calling us out to Edmonton. And back in 2003, had a prophetic word that God gave us and said, move to another place. Actually, the prophetic word was this: I'm going to bring you into a larger place and increase your ministry. So begin to prepare yourself. And we really felt like that was God. We knew it was God. We already felt that. Call it a holy agitation, where God's really beginning to stir in your heart. Have anybody ever feel that, where God's beginning to really kind of stir something in your heart? You know something's about to happen. And so we had that sense, and God was leading us out of Kenora and bringing us into a larger place, and we just didn't know where that was going to be. Well, for a period of about 6 months, or 3 months after that, six different people randomly, people that we respect, people in ministry, called us and said, hey, you know what, have you ever thought about planting a church in Edmonton? So, and I have to be honest with you, the first three people that said that I thought were crazy. I didn't want to go to Edmonton. I had no desire to go to Edmonton. It wasn't my first choice. I'm a Regina boy, and if anybody knows, if you grew up in Regina or Saskatchewan for that matter, you are a Rider fan, right? Okay, how many Rider fans do we have here in Manitoba, Eddie? Yeah, praise God. All right, for the rest of you, let's just stretch out your hands towards you and pray right now. No, the Bombers are going to do well. How many are you Bomber fans? The Bomber fans? Okay. Yeah, you know what? They can win the Grey Cup this year. Yeah, but they got to get through the Riders first. But that's right. Yeah, I know. Hey, they play on the 5th. This will be the rubber match coming up, right? Okay. Anyways, I regress. So I really, because I was a Regina boy, I never really felt like Edmonton would be the place I'd want to be. There was that rivalry there, and not only that, but as a Saskatchewan boy, I was also a Montreal Canadiens fan as well. You could either choose, you know, back in my day, it was either like Montreal, or it was Toronto, or Vancouver kind of came in there a little bit later. So it was one of those three, and then the Oilers came around, and they ended up kind of turning everything upside down, and they're winning 5 Stanley Cups, and it's like, get out of here! What are you doing? You know, just come on, you're new, take a turn, get in line. And so I didn't have a liking towards Edmonton. So when God was calling us to Edmonton, I kind of just said, no, that's not God.
But by about the fourth person that said, hey, have you ever thought about planting a church in Edmonton? It's like, really? God, really? So my wife and I, we ended up taking a trip to Edmonton, spying out the land. Long story short, God just began to set up these divine appointments. And we ended up meeting people that said, hey, if you come to Edmonton, come and stay with us. You can home out of our place. And just a series of God appointments began to happen for us to make this transition up to Edmonton, where God was not only supplying people, but he was providing finances as well. There would be days that we'd go to our mailbox, literally, I'm not making this up, we'd go to the mailbox, and next thing you know, there's a $2,000 check in the mailbox saying, hey, I heard that you guys were going to Edmonton. We just want to sow into your ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple months later, it was like, and it was another check for $3,000 from somebody that we hadn't heard from years. All of a sudden, they're saying, yeah, you know what, you probably can't remember me, but so-and-so, I was, you know, I met you back in the day, and anyways, I want to get so into your ministry. And it was like, it was very apparent after a period of time that we knew that God was in this thing. And so we just, like Cam said, we just followed the Lord. We said, okay, God, be it unto us according to your word. And we just ended up going up to Edmonton and our young kids at the time. And next thing you know, we've got a little fledgling church started in 2005. It was just my family and I. We met three people actually on the ground when we got there, and they kind of joined our Bible study. And now, what is it now, 14 years later, we have a church about 700. So God has done some amazing things in the city of Edmonton, and it's all to the glory of God. It really is to the glory of God. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16 in your Bibles, please, because one of the things that Jesus told us he would do was he said he was going to build his church. And I want you to know that he hasn't changed his mind. He still wants to build his church, and he's still building his church. And I want you to know that his church is here in Swan River. And it's not just Solid Rock Church, it's other churches in the community as well. But you are part of the church. You are a part of the church. And Solid Rock has its place. And Solid Rock is going to do some amazing things. And I want you to know, guys, tonight, listen, God's not a respecter of persons. God's just looking for those that whose hearts are loyal and faithful to him. Yeah. And when he finds them, he will pour into you and through you, because he's got a plan in order to reach the world. And that hasn't changed. And he wants to reach the people of Swan River and area. And I know that you know this, but sometimes I just feel like, you know, we can just get accustomed to the, you know, to the same old, same old. You know, we can kind of go through the routines. But I just think that God wants to jumpstart us tonight a little bit. Amen. Can we allow God to do that? Can we allow God to kind of just relight the fire? Can we allow God to kind of just kind of jolt us back into an understanding again of his plan and of his mission for our lives? He wants to do something amazing here. He wants to do something great in this area. And he hasn't changed his mind. It's his plan. So if you're a part of this church, I'm speaking to you. If you're not a part of this church, I'm speaking to you. Okay, I want you to know that God has a plan for you, your life. God has a plan for you in this church or whatever church you're from. God's got a plan for you. So Matthew chapter 16, we don't have to read verse 13. It's kind of a familiar passage of scripture for most of us. We probably understand or know this, but Jesus was asking his disciples at the time, who do men say that I am? We know that is what he asked him. His disciples began to say, well, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is verse 16. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. Then he went on to say, Jesus said in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, you are Petros, but on this Petra, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus begins to give his disciples an understanding that he is building his church on the revelation knowledge that is only from the Father that gives us an identity of who we are. Jesus said, you are Petros, Peter. You understand that you're a part of the rock, but I'm going to build my church on the revelation that I am the Christ. And I'm going to build my church, and you are part of that, Petros. Can I just say that we're Petroses here today? We're part of the rock. Our identity is a part of Christ. We are in Christ. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, there are over 100 references to in Christ, through Christ. that we are to identify ourselves in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You need to understand, church, that you are part of this big picture called the church. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then in verse 18, he says, and I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I know I'm short for time, but let me just try to back up a little bit and say this. Did you know that you were originally designed by God to be a representative of him on the earth? You know that, right? You understand that, right? In Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 28, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, let us make them. Male and female, he made them. And then he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the cattle of the field, over every creeping thing that creeps, right? It's not talking about your husband, women. That's every other little creeping. Anyways, he said, he gave us dominion. He gave us authority. Did you know that God, when he came in the form of flesh in man, Jesus, we're speaking of, that he didn't come to establish something new, he came to restore something old. He came to redeem you and I back into a place again of kingdom representatives. He called us to become agents of the kingdom. He called us to become ambassadors for him. That's what we are called as the church to be. Representatives of heaven on earth. Ambassadors of Christ on the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking and he says to the Corinthian church, verse, I believe it's verse 20. Let me just turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. That's our calling, is to bring reconciliation between man and God. God has called us to be a church that will take the good news of Christ to the people of our community. Why? In order that they could come into relationship with God the Father. He wants to reconcile man unto himself, and he wants to do that through you. Not that you're the reconciler. You're not the atonement. Christ is, but we need to point people to him, right? Then in verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Watch verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there is this new identity that we now have in Christ, but church, as a redeemed child of God, as a person who now is in relationship with God, God authorizes you to become a representative of him on the earth, to have dominion in order that you could help other people come into reconciliation with God the Father. That's our mandate. That's our calling. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And we can't forget that. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to just get saved so that we can huddle up and have our little glory time with the Lord and then go home and do it all over again next week, right? God's called us, redeemed us into relationship with him. Why? So that we can be ambassadors of him on the earth, representing his will, in order that other people can see the glory of God through you. So that other people can hear the message of the gospel through you. So that other people can come into a relationship with Christ through you. That's our mandate. That's our call. That's our purpose. So he's authorized us or given us dominion on the earth to represent him. And that's important. We never forget that. Otherwise, if we do forget that, we can just go through the motions of religious exercises and routines of going to church and kind of just doing our little sing-song time and hearing a nice message and going home and going to work and living life just average and then coming back and doing it all over again. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you, but to me, that's boring. Amen? I mean, to me, that's just kind of routine-ish. It's like, come on, give me a break. Like, what else is there in life? There's a whole lot more in life. God's authorized you. God's given you an authority and a power. So Jesus says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven so that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, we know what keys do, right? If I had my jacket with me, I'd use, here, do you have any keys? Can I have your keys? Awesome. Cool. Anybody else want to give me their keys? It's cool. Which vehicle is that in the parking lot? Does it have a horn? I could just honk it and it'll, yeah, okay. Okay, so, now Cam, let's say Cam said, hey, Dean, have my keys. I'd say, great, Cam, thank you very much, but man, are you sure? And he goes, yep, I want you to have my keys. Okay, great. Now, what do keys represent? Keys represent two things. Number one, they represent access. They allow me to unlock a lock, right? This key unlocks his truck. And I just have to go out in the parking lot and find out which one it is, but when I do, I'm in it. It gives me access. It gives me access. The other thing that it does is it gives me permission. In other words, it gives me authority. It allows me to not only access this vehicle, but it allows me to actually turn the ignition and be able to drive it. Yes. It gives me that authority. And he did that by giving me his keys. So if I needed a ride, and let's say I have these keys now that he gave me, and then I went to Cam and I said, Cam, you know what? I really got to get home tonight. Could you help me? Could you get me home tonight? I mean, I just need to get home on time. I got to work in the morning, and so please help me get there. I got to go to church in the morning. It's Saturday. Would you get me there? Okay, he'd probably look at me and go, I just gave you the keys. Why are you asking me to get you home tonight when I just gave you the keys? Keys give us access and authority. And here's the thing, church, that I really want to bring to you tonight. I'm going to help you through this. Is that so many times we're asking the Father to do things for us that he already gave us the keys for it. And how many times do we pray for God to do things for us that he's already done and given us the keys for it to do? See, access is giving you access to his grace. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, I'm excited tonight. Are you expecting good things to happen tonight? There might be a little bit of a shift mentality in your mind tonight. Let God do that. Let Holy Spirit just begin to change your mind, change your way of thinking, enable you and help you to get you to a place where you can really begin to grow in your authority in him. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, listen to what it says. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, here, Cam. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let me remind you what grace is. Grace, the grace of God, is God's not only unmerited favor, but it's unmerited enabling power. Yes. Grace is the ability of God to do what you can't do on your own. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. What that means is that you can't get to heaven in your own ability or your own power or your own might. It requires a gift from God to be able to get there. God gifts you with his righteousness. Righteousness is the qualification for heaven, and you can't become righteous in your own ability. As a matter of fact, the scripture says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us, right? Righteousness is the key or the qualification for heaven, and you can't do that on your own. So Jesus gives you his righteousness. He took your sin upon himself, and in exchange, he gave you his righteousness. And you didn't earn his righteousness. You were made righteous by faith. By grace, you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. So grace is the enabling power of God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God gifts that to us. And church, we need to live by faith in his grace. But faith is a key that accesses the grace of God. And God gives us that accessibility into his enabling power, his ability to do what we can't do on our own. That's God's grace. Secondly, the authority of God gives us the permission or the right to do that. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 12, you're all familiar with this portion of scripture. Do you mind if I just give you some scripture tonight? John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for as many as received him, Jesus. To them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, please understand that the word right there is the word exousia. And it's the word that we translate, some versions translate it power, but the word literally means to have the right to do it or the authority to do it. Here's what God is saying. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has given you the authority, his authority, to be a child representation of God on this earth. Your authority is in him. So let me give you 3 points tonight. Let me give you 3 points. This is what I wanted to share with you, and then we're going to pray for some people at the end of our message here tonight. Number one, kingdom authority comes only from God. Kingdom authority comes only from God. You don't self-appoint yourself. You don't give yourself authority. The authority that you have comes from God. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." In other words, authorities of government, the authorities of parenthood, the authorities of pastors, leaders, those are positional appointments from God. It doesn't mean that everybody that's in a place of authority is appointed by God, but the position of authority has been appointed by God. How many know that we have an election coming up this month? Okay, a federal election coming up this month. Okay, who ends up being our next prime minister is given that authority. Now, the position of that governmental system is appointed of God, but the person that we place in that place of authority is appointed by us. We have the ability to be able to vote that next prime minister in. Let us vote carefully. Let us vote wisely. Let us vote with conviction. Let us put God's representative in place, whoever that is. And I know that sometimes it's hard to make those decisions, and sometimes we have to pick the lesser of five evils or whatever, but I'm not saying they're evil. You understand what I'm saying. But we have that place. But authorities are from God. And we, church, need to understand delegated authority. God gives us authority, and he delegates authority. And here's how authority works. When authority comes from God, in order for you to have authority, we also need to learn how to submit to authority. That's my second point. Kingdom authority is only for those who are under God's authority. Let me give you an example in Scripture. We find this in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Go with me to Matthew 8 for a second. This is going to help some of us because God wants us to operate in authority, but in order to have that, we need to understand delegated authority. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him. A centurion was a soldier of 100 under him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and I will heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Here was a soldier that was under authority, the authority of Caesar. And because of his submission to authority, he understood the chain of command. Yeah. He knew that because he was under authority, that he had the authority from above to be able to dictate to his soldiers what to do. He says to the one, I say, go, and the other one, he says, come, and they do that. They obey me because I also am a man under authority. And Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith even in all of Israel. In other words, he acknowledged the fact that the centurion understood the power of authority, that through delegated authority comes the blessing, comes the power. You know that as parents, we have been given authority. And as long as our children stay within the context of our parental authority, they're protected. They're provided for. Now, hopefully as parents, we are under the authority of God and we're submitted to God's direction of truth and correction and love. And as long as we're submitted to God's authority, we're able to be better parents in parenting our children. But the minute that we abdicate that authority, or the minute that we say, you know what, I don't want to follow God's authority and I begin to do my own thing, is the point that we become misuse or abuse of parents, right? Where we don't understand God's love, it's hard to appropriate the love of God. If we don't understand God's truth, it's hard to correct our children in the truth. And we become permissive parents or become restrictive, strict, abusive parents. But as long as we're submitted to God and we allow God's power, God's love, God's truth to channel into us, we can then channel it into our kids. Now, as children, we don't always like that. We don't like being submitted to a parent that is corrective or adjusting or you know, firm. And so we react to that, right? We don't want that. And so we run from that. We escape that. When that child says, I don't want my mom or dad to tell me what to do anymore, I'll do my own thing, and they run away from the authority that God placed over them, they now become vulnerable or subjected to wrong through hurt, by hurt, evil. And here's the thing, church, God won't protect them. And we can pray, and maybe there's supernatural grace that God will give us, but because they have left the covering of the authority that God placed over them, they now become subjective or susceptible to wrongdoing. Right? And church, if we don't understand that, we can put ourselves in places of hurt. We can put ourselves in harm's way if we're not submitted to the authority of God. See, church, your pastor is delegated authority over you. And by the grace of God, the favor of God is upon Pastor Cam and Candace and other leaders in this church. And he's been appointed in that position, and God's graced him to be a shepherd and overseer of the flock. And as a church, it would do you well to come under the governing authority of the local church where you are submitted to learn from, to be corrected by. How do you know that pastors are not called to be your best friend? Pastors are called to be shepherds that correct, that adjust, that teach, that rebuke at times. We don't like that. We don't like that. We don't like to be corrected and rebuked by pastors. We don't like it when pastors, you know, challenge us and correct us and say, hey, you know what, there's an area in your life I just want to loving. And pastors need to understand, we have to lovingly correct people. We're not taskmasters. We're not trying to hurt people. We're not trying to impose our own will or become, you know, legalistic or strict. We just simply want to become loving and gentle shepherds that help people grow in their faith and their walk with God in a loving, caring, gentle way. But we are still called to correct, right? Now, if we submit to that authority, if we submit to that correction, it does us well. The favor of God, the blessing of God will come into that situation in your life. God wants to help you through that, but be submitted to that. Right. I'm trying to give you examples that delegated authority is a good thing as long as we're under the authority of God. The higher the chain, we need to understand we all have a place to submit ourselves under the authority of God, but God gives us delegated authorities that we come under. The police, for example, is a delegated authority. Right? God's given us governance of a community. We got mayors, we got councilmen, and then they set up their, you know, we have, maybe in this parts of the world, we have the RCMP. Is that who governs police here? So, but they're in the federal jurisdiction, but nonetheless, they have governance, or they have the jurisdiction of policing this area. As long as we obey the speed limit, as long as we don't break the law, we're protected, right? The minute that we say, I don't want anything to do with you guys, I'll do my own thing, well, then we're in trouble, right? Don't blame God. Don't blame God if you get a speeding ticket. It wasn't God's fault, right? It was the fact that we disobeyed the delegated authority and what they set up. The whole idea behind that, church, is understanding that in order to have authority, we must be under authority. Authority comes from God, but he gives us authorities that we must submit to. Let me give you four quick authorities that God gives us that we need to submit to besides the personnel that I just mentioned. We need to submit to the blood of Jesus. In order to have the authority of God, we must come under the blood of Christ. We must appropriate the blood of Jesus in our own lives. We must accept the sacrifice of Christ's blood for us, amen, and become born again. Number two, we must submit to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Remember, as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Philippians 2 says that Jesus was given a name that is above every name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name given among men under heaven in which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, there's no other greater name than the name of Jesus. Right. And we must submit to that name. The word of God, Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word is an authoritative word. God's word is the ultimate word. It's the truth. And we must submit to the truth of God's word. In order to have authority in God, we must submit to the word of God, the authority of his word. Fourthly, we must learn how to submit to the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the disciples waited in the upper room, waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, and they submitted to that. They submitted to Christ's word. They submitted to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was able to fill them and give them the power so that they could walk out in God's authority for kingdom purposes. So please understand, in order to have authority, we must be submitted to authority. I'm getting somewhere, church. Hang in there. Number three, kingdom authority allows us, therefore, to represent God and enforce his will. Again, Jesus said that I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The jurisdiction that you and I are called to have authority in is the authority that we are under. Now, the authority that we have been given is the authority of the place that you and I reside, the earth. As kingdom representatives or ambassadors of Christ, we have authority this side of heaven on a planet called earth. God said that the heavens are the Lord's and the earth he's given to the children of men. The scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but he's given it to you and I. We have authority on this earth in order to see God's will done on earth. Now, that's important to understand. Because by understanding your authority that God has given you as you submit to his authority, there is now a plan, a mission, if you will, that God has you on assignment for to enforce something on this earth just as it is in heaven. You're familiar with Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. His disciples said, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God was trying to communicate, listen, ambassadors of Christ, listen, authoritative people that are under my authority. It's the Father's will to see his will done on earth just as it is in heaven. But you're important to that key. You're vitally important to that process from happening. You're not just saved waiting to get to heaven. You're saved and authorized on this earth to enforce his will. You've got something to say here and do here that's going to see the kingdom of God manifest on the earth. So he said, I'm giving you the keys. That whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. So let me talk about those two for a second. To loose things on earth is to unlock. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus begins to teach his disciples about forgiving others. He said, when a brother offends you, go to your brother and make it right between you and him. And if he doesn't hear you, take with you another two, and that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And then he goes on to say that if he refuses you and them, tell it to the church. If he refuses them, even to hear them, then he's a heathen, and treat him like a tax collector or a heathen. Then, if you skip a couple verses, Peter then asks the question, well, how many times do I forgive my brother? Jesus, and then he tries to, make himself really spiritual and says, how about 7 times? And Jesus says, how about 70 times 7? Okay. Now, if you look at that passage of Scripture, there's a couple verses that are sandwiched in between those two dialogues. Jesus talks about having to forgive somebody. Peter says, how many times should we forgive them? But right in the middle, there's something where Jesus again speaks. And it's like, why does he bring this in right in the middle of that? Verse 18 and 19, he says this, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's trying to help us understand the power that you and I have in his authority to be able to forgive others. And if we forgive them, God forgives them. You have the ability to loose people from offense. You have the ability to loose people from being in bondage, to hurt and resentment and bitterness and anger. You have the ability to be able to forgive those people. We can unlock people from unforgiveness, and we want to encourage people to be free from that, right? So God gives us the ability to be able to loose and to be able to forgive, and so that's loosing. But let me just talk about binding for a second. This is where I want to wrap up. Binding is the ability to lock up which needs to be locked up. In Matthew chapter 12, go with me there, I'm just to back a couple pages, and this is important to see. Verse 22, one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's addressing authority. He's saying, listen, I am not, if I'm of the devil, then his kingdom is divided because I just cast out a demon. And a kingdom divided is a kingdom that will fall. But that's not the case. I am submitted to the Father, and as a result of submitted to the Father's will is being enforced here, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that this man just got delivered. And he's speaking of this power that is released as a result of Christ's authority in submitted to his Father. As we know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Jesus was submitted to the authority of his Father. And as a result of that, we see this miracle of deliverance take place in this man's life. Then he goes on to say in verse 29, or else how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Excuse me. And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So Jesus then presents this concept of binding. And he says, unless you first bind the strong man, you will not be able to get the goods. Now here's what I want to just present to you tonight, guys. Is that there are goods that God has blessed you with. There is riches that God has blessed you with. There is provision through the cross that Christ has provided for you. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that every spiritual blessing in heavenly places belongs to you. The scripture says that because you are a child of God, you're an heir of God, and you're a joint heir with Christ. In other words, all that God possesses, the earth and the fullness thereof, he has given to the children of men. You and I have the privilege of enjoying the benefits of the cross. Healing is our inheritance. Yes, yes. Amen? The riches that we need in order to do life with is our inheritance. Peace is our inheritance. Joy is our inheritance. You and I have the right to our inheritance as children of God. Okay? Now, you have that by grace. God has graced that to you. He's gifted that to you. And you walk in that by faith. You access that by faith. He's given you the keys of the kingdom so that you could have that. And you receive that and walk in that by faith. But how many know that the devil, Jesus said this in John 10:10, he comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So there is a strong man the Bible talks about who wants to prevent you from enjoying your inheritance. Wants to stop you from walking in all the blessing of the Lord that he has for you. He wants to prevent you from accessing all these wonderful goods. Church, you know how much God loves you? God loves you so much. The Bible says that our God gives us perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in which there's no variance or shadow of turning, James 1 tells us. God's a good Father. He's a good God. He's got good gifts for his children. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord is rich and he adds no sorrow to it. You're a blessed person. You're highly favored of the Lord. You're a child of God. You're the apple of his eye. You need to understand your place in Christ, that you are blessed. But you have an enemy. You have an enemy of your soul that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, that's trying to rob you of walking into the fullness of God's love and blessing in your life. He's trying to stop you from enjoying life. As a matter of fact, he's just trying to silence you. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to depress you. He's trying to oppress you. He's trying to isolate you. He's trying to accuse you. He's trying to just get you quiet and silent and off to the side and quit making waves and stop talking about Jesus and just kind of do your little holy huddle thing. Go home, stay in your house, go to work, be just average and just repeat over again. He's doing everything that he can to stop you from being the ambassador of Christ that God has called you to do in representing his will. So God gives you the keys. He says, listen, here's the keys to the kingdom. Come on, boys, girls, kids. Here's your keys. Now go and access my grace and have the authority to loose people that are bound and bind the enemy that's trying to stand in your way from robbing you of blessing. Look at Luke chapter 10. I'm going to give you an illustration here in a second. Let me just read this first, though. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1 to 9. If you want to know what the will is for your life, just look at the way that Jesus ministered and taught his disciples, because that gives you a glimpse and an understanding of what his will is for you. What Jesus did with his disciples is an example of what you and I need to walk in and live in as well. So in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great. How many know that this city needs Jesus? This town, is it a town or a city? I'm not sure. Is it a town? Town. The town, the community around Swan River and area are in need of Jesus. Right? Can I just encourage you all? You have the keys to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to that community. He's given you the authority to go and do that. Okay, can I encourage you as a church? And this is something I've seen in even in our own church, and we've had to make some adjustments. We get together for prayer meetings and we pray for the revival, or we pray for salvation to come to our community. And we kind of have this remote control Christianity where it's like we're sitting in our church and we're pressing the remote saying, God, save our community. Lord, save our community. Okay, the problem with that is he gave you the keys. And what he's asking you to do is you to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and in his power,
yes, amen,
for you to go and touch your community with his love and his truth and his power in a way that's going to show them and demonstrate to them his love and his saving grace. Why? Because you're a representative. You're an ambassador.
Hallelujah.
He's called you to represent him. So, church, if the city or the community around us is going to get saved, it's going to get saved through you.
Yeah.
Taking the gospel to people. Right?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I think that sometimes we kind of default back into a, Lord, do it. Do it all, Lord. Cam, give me a ride home tonight. Give me a ride home tonight. I gave you the keys. Oh, yeah, right. I have the keys. Go and preach the gospel.
Yes.
Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Don't huddle up in a church and just pray for God to do it all. He's given you the keys.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, it's not that we don't pray. We just pray for laborers. He said, look, truly, truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. Don't stop there. To send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money belt, sack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And watch this, verse 9. And heal the sick who are there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And whatever city you enter, do not... Let's skip down to verse 17. Okay, so that's what Jesus commanded them to do. Go out, preach, heal the sick. You do that. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God's given us that authority to go and do that? You go heal the sick. How many times do we come up to somebody and we go, oh God, would you please heal this person? God said, you heal that person. Now, it's not you that's healing them. It's the power of God in you. But how many know that Jesus already provided the healing for that person on the cross 2,000 years ago?
It's true, amen.
So we don't go, God, come down. Would you come down and heal this person? He's given you the keys to access his grace and to operate in his authority to bind whatever's standing in the way of that healing, and you release it.
Yeah.
You loose that healing.
Yeah.
You release that power for that person to be healed.
Yeah.
How many times do we get into this remote Christianity where it's like, okay, God, come and do it. Lord, anytime now. Lord, would you please? Oh, God, anytime, Lord, right now, that would be great. Yeah, we beg, we whine, we cry, God, would you come, would you come, would you come? I think the Father in heaven's just going, I thought I gave him the keys. Did you give him the keys? I thought I gave him the keys. Yeah, they have the keys. Why are you asking me for the keys when I already gave you the keys? We have the keys, church. Touch your neighbor and say, you have the keys. You have the keys. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And he wasn't talking about snakes and insects. He was talking about demonic powers. He's talking about demonic evil influences.
Yeah.
Talking about forces of darkness, principalities and powers. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that Jesus was raised to sit at the right hand of the Father above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And then in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says that we are together seated with him in heavenly places. Did you know that if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that if it's under the feet of Jesus, it's under yours and my feet as well? We are the body of Christ. I hope that tonight you're understanding that you're more important than you think you are. You're valuable. This earth needs you. Touch your neighbor and say, if you knew how important I was, you'd take me out for lunch tomorrow. Say that. You're valuable. You're necessary for the kingdom of God. You know, there's a verse in Scripture, I believe it's in Psalm, oh, if I don't get this right, I think it's Psalm 116, but it says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Have you ever heard that verse before? Yeah. We oftentimes, we quote it at funerals. You know, a brother or sister in the Lord passes away, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. You know what I think that verse really means? That precious, the word precious means costly or valuable. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, it costs heaven something when a believer on earth passes from this jurisdiction to heaven, because it's one less ambassador on this earth to represent heaven on earth. You and I have value. You and I are important. You and I have authority. You and I have power of the Spirit of God to enforce the will of the Father on the earth. And it's not going to get done any other way except through the redeemed body of Christ called the church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why? Because the kingdom ambassadors of heaven on earth know their power and their authority to operate in the blood, in the name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, understanding your authority to be able to enforce God's will. Are we walking in that? Are we operating at that level? Are we taking the power of God and the truth of God and the love of God to our neighbors around us and demonstrating that? That's what I want to encourage us with tonight. I love the testimonies that we see in our church. You know, we have video testimonies to present different miracles that God has been doing in the lives of people. We had a lady in our church by the name of Eula Lee. She had stage 4 cancer of the liver. Doctors told her that she had months to live. How many months? 3 months. 3 months to live. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her that she had 3 months to live, and tried to get her on some treatment, and she was taking some chemo, and the doctor assessed it and said, yeah, it's not working. And then she got a hold of the Word. She began to meditate on Scripture. And listen, church, please understand my heart tonight. We can all think of somebody who's died of cancer, and we wonder what happened. But I just know in this case, this woman, she got a hold of the Word of God, and she began to get a revelation of God's authority in her life, and she began to declare from her mouth. She began to say things like this to the doctor. I know what you're saying, and I thank you, doctor, for your assessment. But I shall live and declare the glory of the Lord. I shall live and declare the glory of the Lord. And she began to stand on the Word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. She began to quote the Word of God over and over again in her life. And she began to submit herself to the authority of God's Word, His blood, His Spirit, His name. And she began to just walk in that every day. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. By His stripes, I am healed. By the blood of Christ, He's redeemed me from every curse of the law. I am walking as a child of God, and devil, get off of my body in the name of Jesus. And she began to just live that, walk that, talk that, live that, believe that, say that. And she went back to the doctor for a reevaluation, and they declared her completely cancer-free. How does that happen? That's not natural. That's supernatural by the power of God. And she walked in her authority. Let me just close with an illustration. Just like here, you have police that serve your community. And every person that goes through the police academy, they go in there with the intention that they want to serve and protect. And they go through the academy and they get their training and they understand how to, you know, walk in police, you know, protocol and everything, and they go through their training, and they come out the other end, and then they have a commissioning service, right? And then that candidate that steps up on the stadium or the stage, and next thing you know, they're commissioned, they're given a badge, they're authorized by the jurisdiction that they're in, that they are now able to enforce the law, and so now they become an official police officer, right? So now they've got their badge, they've got their baton, they've got their gun, they've got their spray, they got their vest, they've got their car, they got their handcuffs, they got everything that is necessary for them to enforce the law. Can I just say this, church? They do not have the privilege of changing the law. They can't make up the rules, and neither can you. You are called to enforce the law. You're called to enforce the word of God, enforce the will of God. So as a police officer, now they are commissioned and they are now placed in their jurisdiction to serve and protect. Now, could you imagine that little rookie, not little, but that rookie, that rookie police officer, there he is, he's driving, or she's, you know, driving down the road, and next thing you know, over the radio, they hear there is a robbery in process. And next thing you know, they come over to that, you know, store, and there they see the robber inside the store, and there's the perpetrator, and that thief is in there, and at gunpoint holding up, you know, the cashier, and stealing all their money, and there's the police officer sitting in their car, and he gets on the radio and says, "Chief, we have a robbery in progress right now. You need to get down here right now." "Oh, Chief? Yeah, this is Constable Dean. Yeah, and there's a robbery in progress. Would you please get down here and take care of this situation? It's getting dire. It could turn ugly real fast. You need to get down here right now and help out." Okay, what do you think the chief of police would say to the constable if he got a radio call like that? Okay. "Why are you calling me? Did I not commission you and authorize you to go and to enforce the law, to arrest the perpetrator, to seize, to bind, to arrest the thief?" Okay, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." And how does God give us the life and life more abundantly? By giving you authority, by giving you the keys of the kingdom, by giving you the Holy Spirit, by giving you the Word of God, by giving you His blood, amen, by giving you the ability to enforce His will on the earth. But He's authorized you to do that. Church, it would be wrong for the rookie cop to call the chief and say, "Come on down here." The chief would be saying, "You arrest him. You enforce that." Okay, I use that illustration because how many times, church, do we operate as that rookie cop? "God, we got a problem down here right now. God, I don't know if you know this or not, but we've got a real bad problem here right now in that marriage or in that person who's sick. And Lord, you need to come down here right now and you need to deal with this. What's taking so long, God? Come on. Don't you care? Don't you love us? What's wrong, Lord? What's taking so long? Are you deaf? Come on, God, don't you care?" And we're complaining to the chief of police when he's saying to us, "I thought I gave you the keys. I thought I authorized you. Isn't that what I did? I commissioned you. I've given you that authority, that power." So I just want to encourage us tonight, church, that when Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," He's talking to you. And He's imparting something inside of you as His representatives, as ambassadors on this earth, to take His word and take His power and take His authority and to enforce His will on the earth. And what the enemy tries to do to rob and steal and kill and destroy, you have the authority to bind him, yeah, cast him out, yeah, and to be able to walk in the love of God, releasing that love, releasing that forgiveness, releasing that peace, releasing that joy, releasing that health into the situations that are around us. You and I have that privilege. So, I want to encourage us as the church. Let's be that. Let's be that in our community. Let's love on people. Let's demonstrate to people. Let's do what we need to do in binding the strong man so we can get him out of the way in order to see the goods of God being released into the lives of people. So we're going to pray. If we can just have some music or something. I want to just encourage you tonight. God loves you. God cares so much about you. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. God wants to see you well. God wants to see you healed. God wants to see your life better. You know, there's so many different things that we can pray for tonight. And I want to encourage you, let the peace of God, let the joy of the Lord be your strength tonight. Don't let the enemy rob you of joy and peace in life. Take that back. Say, devil, get out of here. You're trespassing on God's property. You're a perpetrator. You're a thief. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I release right now the joy and the peace of God. I release the healing virtue of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk in forgiveness. I don't have to let bitterness and anger or resentment hinder my relationship with my husband or my wife. Father, let's just pray right now. Father, forgive me for asking you to do things that you've already done. Lord, for asking you to heal when you, by your stripes, we're already healed. We just need to operate in your authority. Speak and release healing. Jesus, you said, look at the mountain. He who says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. You didn't ask us to ask the Father to remove the mountain. You just said, speak to the mountain. So Lord, tonight, whatever it is that's standing in our way, whatever it is that's getting in the way, whatever it is that's trying to rob us of life, we take authority over that tonight in the name of Jesus. Wherever we see the will of God not being done, we take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Lord, because we are also men and women under the authority of your word, of your spirit, of your love, of your blood, of your name. We can operate in your authority, O God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of neglecting that revelation, that understanding. Lord, by trying to do things in our own wisdom and our own strength. Lord, we can't do anything apart from you. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. Lord, we don't want to become independent. We don't want to just do our own thing. Father, we're submitted to you tonight. We're plugged in. We're saying, Lord, forgive me for being independent. Now, Father, we just commit ourselves right now afresh to you by submitting to your word, to your spirit. Father, we walk now, Lord God, in your grace to see your will done in my life. If you're struggling in the area of your physical health, just feel that the Lord just wants to touch you tonight, heal you. That's you. If you just, maybe you're dealing with a back issue, feel like somebody maybe is dealing with a lower back issue in your back, your lower spine. Maybe there's arthritis setting in. You feel like there's just, it's just, you're going to have to live with it. Let me just say this. Don't tolerate what Jesus came to eliminate. Jesus came to eliminate. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Don't tolerate what Jesus came to eliminate. Well, I'm just going to have to live with that pain. Do you have to? Why? Why? Well, I asked God to take it away and he didn't. Well, by his stripes you were healed. Take your authority. Speak to that pain. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Devil, you liar. You thief. I arrest you in the authority conferred upon me as a child of God. You're trespassing on God's property. Get off now in Jesus' name. Maybe some of you, you're there's other shoulder, somebody dealing with a shoulder problem, struggling in joints and joint issues. God wants to heal you right now. He's done it. It's done. Just enforce it in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. migraine headaches. I feel like somebody's dealing with migraines. Can't, just struggles with headaches all the time. You're free now in Jesus' name. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. You're free. You're free. Devil, you liar, you get off of that person's mind right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You perpetrator, you thief, we bind you, we expose you, we expose every work of darkness in the name of Jesus. You lying, foul spirit, we nullify and cancel and render your tactics useless against the child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. I feel like there's marriages, a couple here tonight, maybe you're struggling in your marriage, and I can't just in the name of Jesus make your marriage better, but what you can do is you can walk in forgiveness and begin to walk in a grace and a love towards your spouse that you've never had before. Maybe there's adjustments in your way of communication. God wants to give you wisdom in how you communicate with each other. Supernatural grace to be able to forgive easily. Don't hang on to the hurts and the offenses. The scripture says that when we don't forgive, we give place for the devil. Remember who your enemy is. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Take authority over him. Oftentimes, church, we're asking the chief to do for us what he's authorized us to do. It's not a matter of asking God to do it. He's already provided. It's a matter of you walking in your authority. God wants to give some of you business owners some wisdom. There's adjustments that need to be made in your practice. I just believe that you're on the cusp of a breakthrough financially in your business. There's a new level God wants to take you to, but you need wisdom. Scripture says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all who ask, without doubting. For a man who doubts is unstable. He's like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything of the Lord. God wants to impart wisdom. God wants to grace you with wisdom. Lord, thank you for that word of wisdom for that business owner, Lord, that they're able to make a right decision, a timely decision, a necessary decision, a decision. There's some of you, I think there's somebody here tonight, you've been pondering a decision, but you've been hesitant to make it because you think that it's not going to be good. The Lord says, go with it. I'm giving that wisdom to you. You might think that it's not going to turn out right, but if wisdom is from above, it's from me, it's going to bring peace and it's going to lead to success. Thank you, Father, for helping that area. Thank you, Father. I just believe that there are people in this room, you have opportunity to really influence your neighbor, but you've been afraid to approach them with spiritual things. Lord is saying, don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. It's an opportunity. Take it. Don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't suffer from the paralysis of analysis. Don't overthink it. Just be genuine and authentic in your relationship with me, says the Lord. And I will give you the words, and I will give you the timely manner, and I will give you ways to reach your neighbor that is natural for them, that they're just going to be appreciative of your love for them. God's opening up a door for you to speak to your neighbor. There's colleagues, maybe I sense that there's business colleagues that you have that you're in relationship with that maybe you've talked, you know, weather, you've talked sports, you've talked family, but you've never talked about the Lord with them. And the Lord just wants to remind you that you're the ambassador. You have a message to communicate. See, an ambassador is a representative of another country, of a country in another country, right? We have ambassadors, embassies all over the world that represent Canada. That ambassador in that other country doesn't do anything apart from what the Canadian government wishes. Every Canadian government sends their representative to that country to represent the government's will of Canada in that land. God the Father is sending us as representatives or ambassadors from the country of heaven to the country of earth. We don't say anything else but what our government says. We don't do anything else except what our government does. That's our Father. And he's putting a word in your heart to reveal to the land that you live in. I think some of you are involved in some governmental areas. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's politics in the governmental level. Maybe it's you're part of the town council or school board or something. But God just wants you to be that representative in that place. You're placed there by Him strategically at this time for such a time as this. There's an appointment. There's an appointment. There's an assignment for you. Say, well, it's been tough. You know what? The Lord still has you on assignment. Don't leave. It's strategy. It's strategic. I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's a progressive church. It's moving. This church is moving. It's moving forward, and it's beginning to impact and influence in ways, new ways, and fresh ways, greater ways. And my power is being revealed, and my love is being demonstrated. My truth is being known. My power, says the Lord, is being demonstrated. And I really want to encourage you, church, to take a hold of this tonight. He's going to increase His house through a church that understands their authority. That's you. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you tomorrow morning. Really, I am. I just want to share kind of in conjunction with what I shared with tonight, but I just really believe that God has a word for us in prepping our hearts for that service that God has called us to. So I'll just leave that at that, and we'll just pick it up tomorrow morning. But I just believe that God has so much more in store for you, and He's not done yet. And don't resign. Don't get to that place where you think, well, this is it. No, it's not. There's much more in store. This is just the beginning. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Well, just Pastor Cam and I were just chatting about just ending the evening, but I'm certainly open, and if you have a prayer team standing by, Pastor Ray and Linda, others maybe want to just help us to pray. But if you want to come forward for prayer, we're going to dismiss the night. If anybody needs to leave or wants to go, you're more than welcome to go. But if anybody would like to come for prayer, my wife and I, Cam, Pastor Cam, and again, others, I don't know who your prayer team is, but whoever has been invited to come and help pray, we just want to help pray. We want to pray for you, believe God with you, come in agreement with you. The scripture says that whenever two agree in touching anything on earth, it will be done by our Father in heaven. That's His promise. So we're going to open up the front area here for anybody who would like to come for prayer. For those that have to leave, God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you in the morning. Thank you again for letting me share tonight. Amen.